right, your Bible is open to Revelation chapter 12. And while you're turning, we want to welcome all of you that are sharing this hour on the internet. And if you have a prayer request or something that you need prayer for or whatever, there's a link there on the dialogue box. I believe it's on the left-hand side of your screen where you can help us know what you need by sending us an email. We'll pray for you, do what we can. Now remember that chapter 12 is all yet future. Everything from verse 1 of chapter 4 to the end of the book is future. It is a chapter of great things. In verse 1 we have the great wonder in heaven. In verse 3 we have another wonder, the great red dragon, Satan. And there are many other greats in chapter 12. Verse 1, verse 3, verse 9, verse 12, verse 14 all have great things. It's also called the great sign, S-A-S-I-G-N chapter, sign chapter. And it is a chapter that gives us the reason for antisemitism, hatred of the Jews. Now, anytime you find hatred of Israel, God's chosen people, you can just mark it down that that person that hates the Jew is energized by the devil. Satan hates the Jew for several reasons. Number one, because the Messiah came through their lineage, and also because the Bible came from Jewish penmen. Now, last week I mentioned that chapter 12 takes us back to the events immediately after the rapture. The rapture occurs, and we have seal number one. That's first of seven seal judgments that open into the seven trumpet judgments that open into the seven bowl or vial judgments. And seal number one is the revealing of the rider on the white horse, remember? And that's the Antichrist coming in to save the day. Well, this chapter takes us back to that point. A lot of this stuff we're going to read runs concurrently, okay? And so at the end of the church age, the Christians are removed, the church is removed, and at the rapture, there appears a great wonder in heaven, a sign in heaven. And as I mentioned last time, chapter 12 introduces us to four of the major players, if you please, in a drama of increased persecution of Israel. We have the woman, that's Israel. We have the great red dragon, that's Satan. We have the male child, that's Jesus, and we have Michael, and he is the archangel and all the other angels of God. Now, we also talked about how Israel, pictured by the woman here, is about to give birth to a male child, and how the great red dragon tried to prevent it. He's just giving an account of what Satan has tried to do all through the centuries. Then we talked about how after Jesus was born, since he couldn't prevent him from being born, he tried to get all the Jesus killed by killing all the Hebrew baby boys, right? And that didn't work. When he couldn't kill him prior to him growing up, he tried to prevent him from going to the cross. He tempted him and all the rest. And all of those things failed. And having failed all of those things, we discussed how he tried to prevent Christ's resurrection, desperately trying to keep Jesus from coming out of the grave. But of course, praise the Lord, he failed that too. That's wonderful. Now let's begin reading in verse 1. We'll get the context by going through verse 5. Pardon me. And there appeared a great wonder, that's a sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now I mentioned before, this is not Mary, this is not the church, this is Israel. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder, that's number two, another wonder in heaven, and behold a great red dragon, that's Satan, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the angels of heaven, the stars or angels, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered. Why? For to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a male child who was to rule, who, listen, notice, was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. He's synopsizing. Do you see that? He's synopsizing. Now, if you want to take your pen and make a mark between verse 5 and verse 6, we have the church age inserted like a wedge between those two verses. And the woman fled into Israel, or into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 3.5 years. We do not know where this place is. It is highly possible that it's Petra. Y'all know about the Red Rose City? That's a veritable fortress, you know, where it's very difficult to get in. We do not know for sure, but Israel will run as the war, as the Antichrist makes war against them. Again, the church age is wedged between verses 5 and 6. Now, in verse 7, and again, this is yet future, we have a war in heaven. It's not an eternity past, it's in the future. And many great scholars believe that this will be a future attempt one more time for by Satan to prevent Christ from fulfilling his duties and his tasks as he's supposed to. That he's going to try to prevent Jesus, couldn't keep him from getting here the first time, couldn't kill him after he was born, couldn't keep him from going to the cross, praise the Lord, amen, couldn't keep him in the grave. And now he's up in heaven, and he's going to come back, and he's going to try to keep him from coming back in what we call the second coming. Michael and the great warrior angel and all the others will take up swords against Satan, and they will defeat his attempt to stop Jesus from coming. Now remember, at the beginning of the tribulation, there's going to be worldwide chaos. Worldwide chaos. Why? Because the rapture's occurred and there's going to be just disruption. Everything's going to be upside down. The war of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38 and 39 will end the church age, and there will be devastation there in the Middle East, and Christ will defend Israel as he promises to do so, and then he removes the church, and the Antichrist will step in, as I said, on the white horse, and he's going to save the day, right? He's going to be like Dudley Do-Right. He's going to save the day. And then 3.5 years later, he will have established his one world religion, his one world government, and his one world economy. And the temple will be completed in Jerusalem during that time. And the Antichrist will sit on the throne of David, usurp the throne of David, and he will proclaim himself as God. The Jews will have a wall-eyed fit and rebel. And of course, he will be infuriated and he will go after them. Now that's all bringing us up to verse 6. Let's look at it together again. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now notice the attempt of Satan to prevent the second coming of the Lord Jesus, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Put my glasses on, sorry. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, the angels of Michael. Now, look at verse 8. And prevailed not. Praise the Lord. Amen. And prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great red dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren, Satan, is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. Now, at that point, everything is past tense. Satan loses his access to God's throne in verse 8, and God is the ever-present now. It's a done deal. Folks, Satan is a defeated enemy. He's a defeated enemy. He doesn't act like it, but he is. Now, in verse 11, We talked briefly about how the tribulation saints will survive the satanic attacks on their lives, and also how we can do so also. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, in light of all of that, John writes in verse 12, therefore, in light of all that, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, that's us. Hey, in light of the fact that we've read the back of the book, gee, our side wins, we should rejoice. Don't worry, don't fret, don't stew. You know, so many people tonight that are scared to death of what's going to happen next, whether it be this, that, or the other. There is a heretical cult out there called QAnon. Q, apostrophe, sometimes they leave it off, and then A-N-O-N, which is a abbreviation for anonymous. And these people are dreaming up all kinds of conspiracies. I mean, and the internet just kind of fuels this, you know, because anybody can get on the internet and they can say anything they want to. And it's just ridiculous. They had all these things planned that were going to supposedly happen up to the inauguration of the new president. And now that didn't work the way they said, they're saying, oh, it's all going to happen on March 4th. And they got all these things. And, of course, it's just a scam to get money from the gullible people. But, you know, there's people that believe that stuff, and they start worrying and fretting and stewing. Well, here in chapter 12 of the book of the Revelation, it says we need to rejoice, verse 12. Why? Because the devil is a defeated enemy. And there's no reason to be afraid of him. When I was a little kid, they were playing a lot of scary movies on TV. Y'all know scary movies? Not gory movies, just scary movies. And as a little kid, you know, they were scary. They were scary. And to this day, I don't like those kind of movies because they make you think that Satan is all-powerful. That he can pick up a knife from across the room on a table and fling it at you. He can't do that. That's Hollywood. And even if he could, no weapon formed against you is able to stand, right? Know what the Bible says? So I'm not worried about what the devil might try to do. And we shouldn't bow down to him and be afraid. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. And so he says, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell therein, verse 12. Then he says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Why? For the devil is come down to you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, verse 12 gives us the reason why the world is like it is. You ever wondered why the world's like it is? I mean, you scratch your head and go, what is going on? What is wrong with our world? Well, this verse gives us the reason. Satan knows that his time is short. He knows that he's not going to be able to have free hand to do whatever he wants for very long. And so he's very busy deceiving and manipulating and counterfeiting everything that's true and godly and holy. So verses 9 through 12 give us the ultimate outcome for Satan and his minions. Now let's look at verse 13. In verse 13, he continues to write and says, And when the dragon, that's Satan, saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman, that's Israel, who brought forth the male child, that's Christ. Now, by the way, did you know Satan reads the Bible? Satan reads the Bible. In fact, not only does he read it, he studies it. He is probably the number one Bible scholar in all the universe, save Jesus Christ. He knows God's word. And he studies it and he reads it so he can manipulate it, right? He can twist it. He can counterfeit it. And he can make things sound almost like the right thing, but not quite. When these nice young men with their coat, or their, in this time of year, probably a coat, but their ties and their little badges knock on your door, you know, guy with barely can grow a teeny mustache and says elder, you know, on his name tag. And they come to your door, they sound like Christians. They use Christian terminology. They're not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. They're not talking about the God of the Bible. They don't even use the Bible except so as far as it will further their cause to get your attention, reel you in. And so there's lots of things going on that are counterfeits. How do they do all of that? They're under the energized by Satan, who knows the Word of God. Satan reads the Bible, he studies the Bible, and he does it so he can know what he is supposed to be doing. And if he studies the Bible, and I want to pose a thought to you, if Satan studies the Bible and reads the Bible so that he can know what he needs to be doing, how much more ought we, God's children, ought to be reading and studying it? I mean, if truth were to be told about the average church member in America tonight, about our reading of God's Word, about our study of the Word of God, our understanding of the Word of God, our application of it, and our sharing of it, we would just have to write one big word over all of that. Pitiful. Pitiful. Nobody reads their Bible enough. Nobody studies it enough. You can't study it too much. You just can't. Satan saw what was going to happen, and God's book told him. All he had to do was read it. Hey, friend, guess what? God tells us what's going to happen. All we've got to do is read it. It'll tell us what to do. Look at verse 14. And to the woman, that's Israel, were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. That's 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. Now, many will take that verse and they'll see this great eagle as the United States of America. But I don't think so. Now, here's why. Let me give you my reasons why I do not believe that the United States will be a world power, or even maybe even in existence, at the time this occurs. Number one, there is no Western power mentioned as being present at the end of time as we know it. There's no mention of it. Nowhere in the Bible will you find a Western, you know what I mean by Western, a Western power present at the end of time as we know it. Secondly, no nation in all of world history has been exposed to the light of the gospel, the truth of the Word of God, and the Son of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, more than the United States. However, even though this nation has been exposed to the Word of God more than any other nation in all of history, America has rejected all of it. America has rejected all of it. And the Bible says every nation that forgets God will be turned into hell. That's Psalm 9, verse 17. And beloved, make no mistake, America is on a collision course with that promise in Psalm 9, verse 17. In fact, we may already have already hit it head on. There's a third reason why I don't believe this is the United States. The United States is because the United States has done with the gospel what Israel did with Jesus Christ. Totally rejected the gospel. Our nation is no longer a Christian nation. Our nation is no longer a Christianized nation. I mean, folks, no longer can our children read the Bible in our public schools. No longer can they pray in our public schools. No longer can, you know, the Gideons, our friends the Gideons, right? They go to schools to a lot of, many, many, more now than ever. They cannot take their little Gideon Bibles, I thought I had one right here, and give it to, they have to stand outside the schoolyard. I can remember when they brought them to us at the school. So the United States has done with Israel, with the gospel, what Israel did with Jesus, rejected it. There's a fourth reason. I believe it's not going to be the United States here taking Israel to the protection place. God judged Israel for rejecting his son, and therefore judgment must come on America. And like I said, in all likelihood, it's already happening. God judged Israel for rejecting his son. And folks, when you reject the gospel, you reject the son. S-O-N. One more. The book of Daniel talks about Nebuchadnezzar. You remember that we went through Daniel several years ago. And Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about a big statue. And Daniel, the prophet, was brought in to tell him what the statue meant. And God told Daniel, here's what this and this and this and this mean, and you go tell him. So he went and told him. And what he did was, in this dream, that statue represented all of every worldwide power that would exist from that point until the end of time. And folks, they've all happened exactly like God told Daniel. Did you know that? All of them have happened exactly like God told Daniel. The head of gold, the nation of Babylon. The chest and arms of silver, that's the empire of the Medes and the Persians. The brass belt girded around and all that, that's Greece. And then we have 2 feet, left and right, made of clay. This pictures the Roman Empire, east and west. And there was no, and said all that to this, there's no Western nation pictured. There's no Western nation pictured. Daniel talks about the future. Revelation talks about it from a past, from, you know, future looking back. So when the tribulation begins, the old Roman Empire will be revived, and 10 nations will be formed. That's those 10 toes of Daniel. 10 nations will come together out of the old Roman Empire. And they will unite under the Antichrist, and the USA will not be one of them. You know, I was thinking about this afternoon, and I thought, how could that be? How could it be that the United States would not be there? Well, just look at how our country's going right now. The internal turmoil. I mean, who would have thought that a year ago that our cities would be on fire like they were last summer, and the news media saying, this is a primarily peaceful demonstration. They're standing in front of a big, huge fire. It's primarily peaceful here, Bob. Back to you, you know. A fellow I knew in college was arguing with another college classmate on the internet this afternoon. Happened to see it. And this guy says, hey, our cities are not burning. They weren't burning this past summer. And he denied everything that we saw with our own eyes. When we were watching the television on the 6th, I think it was, of January, and we watched this large crowd, you know, walking from one end of the plaza there in Washington, D.C., walking up there towards the Capitol, just walking. No pitchforks, right? No torches, no guns. They're just walking up there. And we couldn't hear it because the lady at the restaurant had the audio turned down and couldn't figure out how to do closed caption. So we didn't know what was being, you know, okay, everybody's fine. And watching with my own eyes, it looked very peaceful. As soon as the audio came on, riots in Washington, D.C. They're storming the Capitol. And it was, they think we're so dumb that we can be watching it with our own eyes, what's really happening, but we'll believe what they're telling us is happening. Years ago, there was a TV show about a man and his wife, and he was waiting on a big sporting event to come on, and he was watching the sporting event, and then all of a sudden, the President of the United States came in. This is before cable. This is all network, you know, TV. And they broke in, and the President made a speech, and he finished the speech. And, okay, at least we can get back to the very end of the game, right, and see who won. And then they went to a newscaster, and the husband said, why is this guy on? And she said, oh, that's Mr. So-and-so. He's going to tell us what the president just said. And, you know, we laughed at that back then, but that's exactly what's happened. I watched that happening in my own eyes. I was watching what was going on. I was watching the crowds. You know, I've seen videos of people who tried to stop the vandals. Don't do that. Stop that. What do you think you're doing? And these people came, those people came with tools of destruction. They had clubs and pry bars and all kinds of stuff. And then some of the citizens tried to stop them. They begged the police to stop them, who just stood there and let it happen. Now our capital is surrounded with razor wire and fences. Do you know this? It's unbelievable. And so our nation is imploding, just imploding. Now, so somebody, we don't know who, is going to take Israel, pardon me, and they're going to rescue them from the persecution of the Antichrist. Pardon me. Look at verse 13. When the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman, Israel, who brought forth the male child, Jesus. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And what's the result? What happens when God rescues Israel again? The Antichrist gets so mad it's not even funny. He's energized by Satan himself. And he will crank up his efforts all the more, and they will pour out like a flood on Israel. Verse 15. The serpent cast out of his mouth water like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. He pursues Israel, just trying to overflow them like a flood. Have you ever been in a flood? I mean, a real flood? Ever got caught in a river or one of those in big creeks? And the water grabs hold of you and takes you. We were swimming one time in a big river type thing. It's Turner's Falls, you know, Weber's Falls and all that stuff down there. And beautiful place, right? Clear water, you can see the bottom. But listen, my dad said, you be very careful because there are undercurrents in this water that will grab you. And, you know, you could feel sometimes the water around your feet, and you had to be really careful. And there were stories over the years, you know, about someone got caught in the undercurrent and drowned. The floods just pour. Well, that's going to be what's happening. The Antichrist will just so violent and so hate filled with hate, it will just pour over Israel. But God's going to protect them. Just as the armies of the Antichrist under the control of the Satan himself are about to really just get them right where they want them. In the midst of the tribulation, look what happens in verse 16. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth, that means very angry, with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, her descendants, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now there's no break between verse 17 of chapter 12 and verse 1 of chapter 13. And he says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, it's looking at the peoples of the world, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, that's those 10 nations that we talked about, upon his horns and 10 crowns, upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. So, Israel will get what they want at the beginning of the tribulation. They'll begin to build the temple. They'll get it completed. The Antichrist will take over the throne of David. He'll go to war against Israel. They will be beaten and beaten and beaten, and finally they will be someone will rescue them and take them into the wilderness somewhere, maybe Petra, not sure. And then he'll just keep pouring out on them, you know, all kind. I can just picture, you know, just I don't know idea what this means by water, by the flood. It could be a flood of bullets, right? It could be bombs. I just don't know. Have you ever watched movies about nuclear bombs? How the mushroom cloud and all the clouds, they look like water rippling. Have you ever noticed that? Look like water. You know, when you drop a rock, you know, you have the, like that. So you have not only the mushroom that goes up, but also all the stuff underneath, you know, down on the ground. And so it could be that. Now, I think that'd be, I just get goosebumps on my goosebumps thinking about that. Here's Israel, and they're dropping nuclear bombs on them, and they don't have any effect. And God can do that. You know why? Because he's in charge of the nuclear, down to the smallest part. Well, then, when it looks like they're going to be destroyed, I mean, we've got them cornered, we're going to destroy them, all this stuff, and the earth swallows it up. What's that mean? I don't know. Nobody knows. But somehow, God's going to use the earth to absorb all of it, like a giant sponge. And the dragon gets even madder. You know, he knows the end. Why doesn't he repent? He's too prideful. Why do we not repent when we sin? We're too prideful. We're not much better at times. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. How beautiful. Well, let's stop right there. And next time we get together, we'll get into chapter 13, where we see the earth entering its greatest crisis of all time in chapter 13. Well, let's pray.